He lurks over the colorful little town from his mountaintop cave. He glares seethingly at the small bundle of dwellings below, heedless of his frozen feet ankle-deep in the soggy snow. The village sits in a caldera formation that funnels sound upward towards the gloomy cave. Normally, the din is barely tolerable, but once a year, the colorful town would whip themselves into a cacophonous frenzy. Christmas. He hated Christmas. All of the simpletons in the town dedicated one day of the year to be as loud and as greedy as possible. They would bang all of their drums and blow their horns to celebrate the fact that later they would receive gifts, usually containing more instruments that they could then use to make more noise. Those who didn't receive any instruments would join the town-wide sing-along later. It was deafening, and it happened every single year. This year, the Grinch felt like he just couldn't take one more year of this. While he had kept his distance, a careful 53-year-long study of these weirdos drew him to conclude that this strange holiday centered around greed-based gift-giving, followed by making as much noise as humanly possible. So, if he could steal the items around which the holiday revolved, then perhaps the clash of 30 different instruments playing 40 different songs at dozens of different tempos could be avoided. His head split just thinking about it. Before he knew it, he was sewing together a costume. If he could disguise himself as Santa Claus, no one would question his breaking and entering. If he looked exactly like someone people expected to be sneaking into their house on Christmas Eve. He broke into every house and stole everything that wasn't nailed down. Instruments, stockings, toys, and food all went into his bag. He only questioned his actions for one moment, when, for the first time in his whole life, he spoke to a who. She was tiny, but whos came in all sizes, though she did seem particularly young. She bought his disguise, but was confused about why Santa would steal her Christmas tree. She seemed so innocent and sweet, and through their whole interaction, he felt very conflicted. What if whos were all like this? What if he was doing something wrong, and the whos never intended to hurt him? But when he thought of all the years he had quietly borne his 48-hour migraines, he felt motivated again, and as quickly as the girl was sent back to bed, he was confident in his decision to purloin her Christmas tree. The Grinch and his only companion, an obnoxiously cheerful dog named Max, hauled their massive sleigh up the mountain to dump the offending gifts off a cliff. Finally, Christmas would be nothing but a day of quiet grieving. He paused to listen, to relish the silence that echoed through the valley. Instead, slowly, very slowly, he heard the whos leave their homes, their feet crunched in the snow as they softly gathered together, held hands, and began to sing. The Grinch simply couldn't fathom it. What were they celebrating? He had taken all of their instruments, every possession of every kind, in fact. What did they even have left? Maybe there was more to this Christmas thing than he had assumed. He had to know. He had to find a way to have this for himself. The Grinch returned everything he had stolen and was quickly immersed in the Who's culture. But what was the story really about? What message was Seuss trying to convey? One year, on December 26, Theodore Geisel looked in the mirror during his morning toothbrushing and realized he was looking particularly grumpy. What had happened to the simple Christmases he had celebrated as a child? Somewhere along the way, things had become louder, more colorful, and more commercial. He felt that gifts and greed had taken over the day he loved and turned it into something unrecognizable. It was this sentiment that inspired Geisel to write the story of the Grinch. He related to it so much that for the rest of his life, he had the word Grinch as his license plate. His stepdaughter once said that the Cat in the Hat was Ted at his best, and the Grinch was Ted at his worst. He wanted so much for Christmas and his Christmas story to stay true to its simple message that he refused to sell the rights to create adaptations within his lifetime. Since his death, things have become a little more murky. as his wife was a little more flexible. This time of year, one has to wonder what Geisel would think about all of the Grinch merch that one sees in stores today. The character created to condemn making Christmas all about stuff has become the center of much of the Christmas stuff for sales these days. Since the character has grown in popularity, so have the numbers of theories about the Grinch. Some theorize that the Grinch has misophonia, since most of the complaints he levels at the Whos are based on them being noisy and the types of dissonant, repetitive sounds that he finds so offensive. Most people can tune this kind of thing out, but in a person with misophonia, they can't block irritating sounds. Their minds focus on every sound around them, all at once, all the time. Now, if you've ever been in the same room with me while I'm reading a story, you know that I'm pretty good at tuning out things that are not what I'm focused on at the moment. If you put my husband in the same situation, not so much. He hears every breath that every person takes in the room at once. From watching a film theory episode on the Grinch possibly having misophonia, the host's wife also has misophonia, and she talks about, for her, it's particularly like mouth sounds, like animals grooming themselves or people chewing, that kind of have this effect on her. But it's, you can't block out any noise, so you hear everything all at once. You'll hear the fan and people breathing and people sneezing and stuff like that. Being in a crowd is miserable for these people because they hear every cough, every sneeze, every sigh, everything, and it drives these folks nuts. And yeah, so it's a really interesting watch. If you watch the film theory clip on the Grinch, I believe he has two of them, and they're both really good, but the one particularly on misophonia is really interesting. It teaches you kind of a lot about the conditions. Fascinating. Anyway, the hearing of all of the sounds around you all at once gives you this sensory overload that can lead to anxiety, panic, disgust, and even extreme irrational rage. This irritability may be what motivates the Grinch. He may also have a cardiac condition known as small heart syndrome. This can cause low blood oxygen, which is probably the most obvious symptom, chronic fatigue, brain fog, sleep issues, poor circulation, and, wait for it, oversensitivity to noise. Yeah, saw that one coming. Now, I don't know about you, but when I don't get enough sleep, I am particularly grumpy and grouchy. Like, almost another person, according to my family. So, yeah, I mean, the lack of sleep and lack of energy because you don't have enough blood oxygen from this condition also would explain a lot of the Grinch's symptoms. Also, considering the story specifically states that he starts with his heart two sizes too small, this is a pretty good possibility of this one as well. Maybe both, who knows? So, anyway, this might be kind of the cause of some of the Grinch's behavior as well. Many people point out that his 1,000-foot climb down and then back up the mountain, bearing thousands of pounds of gifts while spending the evening climbing up and down chimneys, burglarizing people, then deadlifting a massive sleigh over his head, may have caused him to have a heart attack. This can sometimes cause euphoria, which he may have mistaken for his joy when he saw the Who singing. So there are lots of kind of fan theories out there about the Grinch. I think a lot of that is because if you've seen the earlier cartoon or read the book, which are the kind of pieces of the story made within Geisel's lifetime and therefore the most accurate, the character is decidedly ambiguous. And I think part of that is because of Geisel's own reasons for being grumpy around Christmas were so vast. Like, there were so many. He missed the kind of simple wooden toys of his childhood and the closeness and togetherness of his childhood, as opposed to the more booming economy and all of the possessions that came with it at the time of his adulthood. He missed kind of Christmas being a quiet, holy, religious day where you spend time with your family, as opposed to a day all about giving people stuff so that they can give other people stuff, etc., etc. He had lots of reasons for being kind of grumpy on the holiday. Also, I think physically Christmas is just more exhausting for parents than it is for children. Also financially, obviously, but physically very tiring. You know, it's a pretty stressful time of the year for an adult, and you don't notice that as a kid, which kind of automatically makes you more nostalgic for Christmases that you had as a child once you're an adult, because you feel like, quote unquote, the magic is not as strong as it used to be when it comes to Christmas as an adult. But I think a lot of that just comes from the fact that you're tired. You know, what used to be the excitement of going to 5 or 6 Christmas parties is now tiring because you have those Christmas parties on top of work and on top of possible school and shopping and wrapping and dealing with other people. And it's you still love it, but it's not, you don't have to get to just go along for the ride like you did as the kid. You have to actually put the work in order to make the day happen. And I think that that kind of makes you nostalgic for the day that you just, all you had to do was hop in the car, eat good food at grandma's, and just sit back and receive, you know, receive the gifts and the bounty and the admiration of your family. You could just sit back and consume and just bask, I guess is a better word than consume, bask in the glow of the season. Whereas as an adult, you're the one who has to make that season possible. So it's only natural that you would be nostalgic for the time when Christmas seemed simpler and seemed easier because you weren't the one coordinating it. And I think the newest on HBO Max, The Christmas Story, or Christmas Story Story, whatever it is, the Christmas Story 2, where Ralphie is all grown up, I think really does a good job of showing that kind of where he still loves Christmas, but there's a lot more pressure to put Christmas on now that he is the father and quote unquote, the old man who always made Christmas possible is now gone. It's much harder for him. So I think an explanation for Geisel's grumpiness is not just that he's having trouble adjusting to modern times and gifts and all of that, but I think there is kind of this bittersweetness to seeing Christmas as an adult versus the way you see it as a child. It's still a treasure. It's still a magical time of year, but you do look at it a different way. Because as a kid, it's just a time where pure magic is poured onto you. Whereas as an adult, you know, you're surrounded by other adults doing adult things. And you're much more aware as an adult that some people don't do Christmas and some people do. And some people do Christmas, but they do it differently than you. And some people don't do presents at all because they want the focus to be on Jesus. And some people do tons and tons of presents because they don't believe in Jesus. It's more complicated as a grown-up, whether it's, I don't know, whether it's still lovely. It's still the best time of year, but you think about it more, I guess, as an adult, and you have a different perspective on it than a kid who, again, just gets to bask in everyone else making their Christmas magical. And I think it's kind of that way with family vacations when you're an adult versus as a kid, too. It's still wonderful, it's still fun, it's still glorious, and you look forward to it every year, but it's very different when you're the one who has to do the organizing instead of just the one who sits back and receives the magic, you know what I mean? It's always easier when the planning is a passive experience for you. And I think that that might be part of Geisel's kind of exhaustion or grumpiness that he was feeling on that fateful December 26 when he had just put together a whole new Christmas for his kids yet again, and he's probably just tired and grumpy, and you know, his kids are probably still all whacked out on all the sugar they had the day before, and I don't see Christmas as a cynical thing at all. I think it is the most beautiful time of year. I just think you look at it a little differently, and that might have given good old Dr. Seuss a case of the grumpies on that particular December 26th. But I do think he would be a little salty about the fact that he created this character to condemn kind of the overconsumption surrounding the holiday, and it's kind of now become part of the overconsumption. So I don't know. It's a complicated story for a complicated character. And it's complicated how the character has become complicated when he was so simple to start out with. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope I haven't lost you with my post-story rambling after that. But it is a wonderful time of year. And I know that a lot of the country is getting like hammered by a blizzard right now. So sit inside, start a fire, enjoy the beautiful, beautiful snow, enjoy the beautiful, beautiful green if you don't have snow, and just enjoy your time being warm and cozy during this cooler time of year. And enjoy Christmas. Christmas is fantastic and it's beautiful, and I don't know. I'm not a Grinch myself. I'm not an Ebenezer Scrooge at all. That being said, I will probably be skipping our episode for next week. I am going on a small trip with my husband for New Year's. Sorry, I've got the hiccups. It's hard to record when you have hiccups. I'll be going on a small trip for New Year's, and I will definitely be enjoying that with my husband. We're going to go upstate a little bit and enjoy some time in a hobbit hole, which will be my first time ever doing that. I'm a big fan of the work of J.R. Tolkien and Lord of the Rings. I've shared a little bit of parts of his stories on the show before, and I'm really looking forward to it. But it would be hard to record and pack and get the dogs ready for the trip and do all of that all in 1 week with just my normal responsibilities. So I am going to take next week off, but let not your hearts be troubled. I will be posting on Christmas Day, our kind of Christmas, annual Christmas celebration episode, where I put on all of the bits of stories like the O. Henry story and Ebenezer Scrooge and all of the stories from previous years kind of mixed together into one mega beefy episode like I did for Halloween. I love doing that. Those are my favorite ones because it's so fun to listen to like one 2 hour stretch of just Christmas stories. I don't know. I'm a nerd. I love that kind of thing. So definitely enjoy that. When I come back after New Year's Day, I will be telling you a story coming from Detroit, Michigan. And I hope you'll enjoy it. It is a little spooky, but hey, it's winter. Most of the days are dark now. We can do spooky things because we have a lot more nighttime. Enjoy your Christmas. Have a safe and beautiful Christmas. And drink lots of hot cocoa. Hot cocoa is wonderful. I love you guys and have a wonderful day.